It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're continuing the study in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with the fourth verse and read down through to the ninth verse. And so please open your Bibles and follow along if you can. If you cannot do that, please just listen very carefully as we enjoy this study today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open to the book of Revelation, the last book in our scripture, and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and worshipped us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kingdoms and priests, kingdoms of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're going to end the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today for this opportunity to study your precious word once again. What a wonderful opportunity it is for us to do the perfect thing, the wonderful thing, and that is to learn more about you. The more we learn about you, the more peace we'll have, the more strength we'll have, the more each day will be exciting. Please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us. We know, first of all, that we must know you as our Savior personally before the joy and the peace and the excitement and the strength can come. Because only when our sins are forgiven and we've been set free from the bondage of sin, then and only then can this real life begin. And the only way that can take place is through your precious blood, dear Lord, blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary for us. You took care of our sin problem 2,000 years ago, but there's been a multitude of folks, Father, that have died without accepting that free gift, and so in turn they have went to the place of torment awaiting their final home, which is the lake of fire. Please, dear Lord, that anyone that's listening today, that they will not make that decision, a decision not to trust in you. But today they will call upon you and trust in you as their Savior and then begin the most wonderful walk and wonderful life they've ever experienced. No matter whether they have a lot of money, Father, or no money at all, there can be joy in each and every day. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Now please speak to all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We started reading up in the fourth verse, but I like to kind of back up a little bit and remind us the grace and the peace that we've talked about, the which is, which was, which is to come. Speaking of our God's eternal existence, we have the same down in the eighth verse there as we look at that. We find that from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, that's the reason that we have life, is because Jesus not only died for our sins, but he also rose from the dead. What a wonderful day. He is alive today at the right hand of the Father, and we're just awaiting his return. We're going to talk about that today. I think we'll get that far today. So what a wonderful area of Scripture to study. And then the sixth verse, last time we were together, we spent most of our time with that sixth verse. It's the Lamb of God that washes away our sins. And it speaks here of He hath made us kings and priests. And we have looked back into the Greek and found it to be kingdoms of priests. And we spent most of last time we were together talking about that there is no church, no denomination that holds with the term priest. Sometimes they would take that as being the pastor. Sometimes we have the term father that they use. I believe that God the Father, in respect to our spiritual life, should only have that title. Reverend is another. We should reverence our Lord always. I don't believe that man should have that title. I appreciate when folks call me a pastor because I am the shepherd of the flock, the under-shepherd of the Lord, from the Lord Jesus, of course. But to be the pastor, to be the spiritual leader under the Lord Jesus Christ is where the proper place of the preacher or pastor of the church should be. All are priests. Now I'm speaking to believers, because if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't fall into this line or this category at all. Because only if you are blood-bought and have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ can you take the title of priest, and the Lord Jesus is our high priest. We spent some time last time we were together concerning the work of the bring the offering, the Day of Atonement, the tabernacle, all those things we discussed. And if you have never studied the book of Hebrews, and prior to studying the book of Hebrews, you need to study thoroughly the first five books of our Scripture, which are the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And when you get to Leviticus, you'll find Leviticus and Hebrews, those two, when you have an understanding of the tabernacle, when Moses came down off of the mount, he had the Ten Commandments, yes. Everybody knows that. That's the law. That's judgment. Those tablets is what condemns us. If we have to go according to what the law says, there is not a one of us that has life. We are all dying in our trespasses and sins. We don't have any hope. But at the same time that Moses received the law and brought it to the people, he also brought salvation. And that was in the means of this building called the tabernacle and all the offerings and the sacrifices that was built around it. It is the most beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus that is in the Scripture, is this tabernacle, this building. And so you see, each time that our God brings judgment, he also offers salvation or grace right next to it. And so if you decide not to trust in Jesus and you decide to go your own way and you awaken in the place of torment, you'll never ask why, because you'll know why. It's because you have rejected the only opportunity that was there, and that is to trust in Jesus as your Savior. So I hope that you do that today. And again, we had a wonderful study. We were in 1 Peter chapter 2, back in Hebrews chapter 10, and we even spent some time talking about what we have in the first five books A lot of people don't study the Old Testament. They don't think it's necessary. If you have not had a good study, a thorough study of the Old Testament, you've got very little understanding of the New Testament. That's where so many of our different denominations come from and different beliefs come from. It's because they have not studied the Old Testament. Stand upon the truth. That's where our foundation is, and so please that we do that today. On now to the seventh verse. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. What a tremendous declaration. The coming of the Lord. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. The second coming of our Lord, we need to be preaching. This truth that we have in the Word of God. Today, it seems that is two things are lacking, and one, the first, the most important, is truth. If truth was preached in our churches, we'd see so many folks saved and born again, and their lives would be transformed by our God, and it would be just a wonderful situation, a wonderful opportunity for folks. But they don't. They don't preach the truth. They preach their own doctrine, own philosophy for their own gain. We need to speak the truth. Always. Here we find that there are two parts to this coming. We know it by the Word of God. So people say Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. But the first time when he comes to get his saints, believers, all folks that have trusted him, and they call that the rapture. That is the next event on the calendar of our Lord, is his coming to get his church. That is different than what we think of as the second coming, because the second coming is when he comes, plants his feet upon this earth, defeats the great enemy, and we will live here for 1,000 years with him. You say, well, I don't know if I believe all that. Well, the very book that tells you all about heaven also tells you about the lake of fire and the place of torment. This same book is the one that tells us very clearly about what's about to happen. And we've got several verses of Scripture that we're going to read today. And so I hope that you're prepared and hope you're able to listen. Many times I know that you're driving and not able to open your Bibles and read these Scripture verses, and I just ask you to be very, very careful. I sure don't. I just want you to be able to listen and to hear, and if you can, to read along with us. There are two, the rapture and the revelation. The rapture is the time when Jesus comes for his saints. We will meet him in the air. He does not plant his feet on, doesn't touch the earth, doesn't come to earth. We'll meet him in the air. He comes part way, and he calls us up. And we're going to look at the verse of Scripture in a second. The second is what they call the revelation, and that is when he comes with his saints. So you see, the actual statement of the second coming that most people think about is when we will be with him coming from heaven back down to earth again. Well, we got to get to heaven first before that can take place. These two events are 7 years apart from each other. Now, we do have several verses of Scripture, so let's begin the look at the rapture. Again, there are 7 years between what we call the rapture and the revelation. John, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 14, verse 3. Promises that he gives us. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise! If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a hope! Philippians. That was John 14:3. If you had the opportunity to write it down, maybe, and you can look them up later. John 14:3. Now Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, 20th verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 20 and 21, Philippians 3:20. Our conversation, our citizenship, would be a better word for that, if you would look that up in the Greek. Use your concordance. We talked about that last week. Strong's Concordance is a book that you need to purchase. It has every word listed carefully as a dictionary would, in alphabetical order, every word that's in the King James Bible. And so you can look to the King James, you can read it, and then look that word up to see and get the full definition, not just man's one word that he's replaced it with. And so you want to study the Word of God, not just read it. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming to get us. 1 Thessalonians. I tried to get it in line there for you, so it was a little easier to look up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 15 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then that 18th wonderful verse says, comfort one another with these words. We're going to be snatched up, lifted up, transported, is the word caught up there in the middle of the 17th verse. The trump there is a call to march, a call to war. We're going to be, is the use of a trump, and we're going to be called unto God. What a precious verse of Scripture. But it all hinges on the very fact that Jesus died and rose again. And you say, yes, I believe that. I'm asking you carefully, I'm asking you prayerfully, have you asked him into your heart to save you? Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. You see, it's more than just in your head. It's got to be down in your heart. And the only way that it can get down to your heart is that for you to trust in Jesus, ask him to come into your heart. Now, you can't do that on your own, but the Holy Spirit, as we read the Word of God, that's the reason we always spend time, that's the reason we have the study of the Word, because the Word allows the Holy Spirit to work on your heart, and he's calling you, he's desiring you to come and trust in the blood of Jesus, and I ask that you do that today, because the rapture could happen any minute. Everything is in order. Everything is in line. You say, oh, I've heard preachers say that for years, and it's been true for years. We need to be looking for his return. We need to be ready for his return. And the only way you can be ready is to know Him as your Savior and be in working, diligently working every day, preparing for that day, because it will come. Maybe we'll have to go into the grave and be one of those that are asleep, and that's what it talks about here. That's the ones that are buried, died and buried. Soul went immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. But the opportunity here for those that have died, they will go first. They will be raised from the grave. And then we that are alive, if we would happen to be still alive at that time, will meet them in the air, receive our glorified bodies, and be with the Lord forever. What a beautiful, beautiful day. Body and spirit, soul will all be together, alive, lifted up. Jesus is going to meet us in the air. What a wonderful opportunity. All are going to be with the Lord. We got one more verse of scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 23. We got to go back the other direction now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. First Corinthians 15:23. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. What did we just talk about? You need to know Jesus as your Savior. Be prepared for this. Now we're going to go back to the Revelation. This will be his, what most folks are calling, the second coming. This is when he comes and plants his feet upon the earth. Let's see what we learn in these verses of Scripture. We're going to have to go back to the Old Testament to begin this one, and we're going to go back to Zechariah. Zechariah 14:5. Hey guys, Zechariah, Malachi. So if you find Matthew, just kind of work back into the Old Testament there, and you'll find it very, very shortly. Zechariah chapter 14. You can hear my pages turning, and that gives you also an opportunity to do the same. We want to read them from the precious scripture. Zechariah 14, verse 5. Matter of fact, we'll read from 3 to 5. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave, shall literally rip in two, in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Ezel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That was recorded almost 500 years before the birth of Jesus, 2,500 years ago. 2,500 years ago. And when God's word is stated, when he speaks, it's just the same as done. The time schedule, maybe the time hasn't come, but it is sure it'll happen. It's going to take place. Go to Colossians 3:4, back to the New Testament. Back to the New Testament, and we have Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Hope that helps you to find these areas. Learn the books of the Bible. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There we go. Missed one in the middle. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. You were probably already there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see, what's going to happen, and now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the arms which were in heaven followed him, armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I saw white, saw heaven open and a white horse, and he that sat was called Faithful and True, the Lord Jesus. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Go back to John chapter 1, and we'll find that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and in verse 14 of the first chapter it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the same, the Lord Jesus. And armies which were in heaven followed him up on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We will be with him. What a day. Out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, the 15th verse continues. Two parts to his coming. The first is the rapture. The second is the revelation when he comes in his fullness. The first one we'll meet him in the air. The only folks that'll see him the first time are those that are born again, those that are saved. John chapter 3 says we must be born again. You know, Nicodemus was a very, very religious man. Nicodemus had all the answers, and he had none of the answers because he did not know Jesus. And when he began to ask Jesus some questions, Jesus returned immediately and says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't understand. He didn't understand. How can such a religious man, such a good man, miss the very most important element, the most important part of life, and that's salvation through our and by our Lord Jesus Christ? How could you miss that? Well, multitudes miss it today, just like Nicodemus did. And Nicodemus listened, and he was saved. He trusted in Jesus. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay with your religion? Or are you going to follow the Word of God? Are you going to follow Nicodemus? I sure hope that you do. What sweet verses of Scripture to look and to study. Now we return back to the first chapter of Revelation. Just have a little bit of time left, just enough time to kind of start with the Alpha and the Omega. But before we do, we're going to read once again verse 7, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail before him. And so you see, we have both sides. Those that will trust in him. But this here is the time that's talking about his second coming. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. That is the second coming. That is when we will be with him. 7 years before that will be what they call the rapture. This is the revelation. I hope that you understand that, and I hope that you see the difference between the two by the verses of Scripture that we looked at today. Verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha and the Omega, that's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. God is the source of all things. He is the beginning of all things. Please, everything finds its answer in Jehovah God. God is eternal. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?